Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Is there like any way we can cancel this whole thing?
Yes.
No.
Dad, it's like Emily turned out to be this whole different other person.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All men are nervous the night before their wedding, right?
You mean all guys are nervous and anxious? I kind of hope she's a can of botulism.
With Andy Dirt Jensen and Brendan Sprague.
Or maybe she could hang out with a deer and a hunter accidentally shoots her. Or you know when she's sleeping, she makes that nose whistle sound? What you'd really like to do is take her stupid little red toothbrush and ram it up her nostril into her skull?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. I feel like it's only a matter of time before we play the breaking news sounder and Dirt's crying because Bryce Harper is a Giant. You guys are the Vegas favorite to land him, man.
The Vegas favorite to land him. My optimism went from, or my excitement level went from very low about the upcoming season to, sign him up.
Can I also sound like a little bit of a bandwagon fan here?
Sure, what do you got?
I have rooted for the Atlanta Braves since I was a child.
Yes, you have.
But
First
time in a long time, I'm actually really excited for the season to start as pitchers and catchers report.
Every fan's that way, man. When you go into a year and you got a chance, you won your division last year, a lot of young talent coming back. Like, you know, you can't match that excitement. Pitchers and catchers report, what, tomorrow? Today?
Well, today.
The A's today, the Mariners tomorrow, because they play in that series
right,
in Japan.
That dumb Japan game.
And then everybody else by the end of the week.
All right. Yeah, so apparently my Giants are offering him a big short-term deal.
Which I don't blame him for that, but I'm almost wondering, will he take it? Because if he got a better offer, wouldn't he have signed it by now?
I think maybe you're going to wait. I think the incentive to do that would be, one, does the market look different in the next couple of years in baseball? Like, is this the permanent trend where teams aren't spending money? Is it a minor dip and then it comes back?
Like, what is he, 25?
He's 26. So he could, if he signed it, let's say he signs a three-year deal and he makes $50 million a year, whatever, it was something crazy like that, you could still hit free agency at 29
and
again.
Get one more big contract.
Right? And there was some criticisms of his performance the last couple of years that it hadn't been up to the $400 million range. So,
I would never do that, yeah.
So if he's able to come out the next 3 years and just and kill the ball and play great for until he's 29, conceivably maybe then you get your 8-year contract out of it.
All right, it's time for NFL whip around.
Frozen Tundra.
And we will start the NFL whip around because this time of year there's really no audio to play. Closer to the draft we get, there will be.
That's right around the corner.
But we got a lot of storylines to get to. I'll start with the big one. We did this on the Daily Ticker. The Cleveland Browns announced at around 11:15 our time that they were going to take a risk. They have signed Kareem Hunt, the former Kansas City Chief. He, of course, is still awaiting the suspension from Roger Goodell in the NFL. But the GM for Cleveland, John Dorsey, said he has known and had a good relationship with Kareem Hunt since he started evaluating him going into the 16 draft. Of course, he was the GM when they drafted him in Kansas City.
He also, by the way, took the shot on Tyreek Hill, remember?
Yes, he did. So he clearly has maybe a bad moment, but I'll take a chance on him. And Kareem Hunt gets another shot in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns.
A lot of tentacles to a story like this. One, I think the initial response is we need to wait and see what the NFL investigation turns out and how much he plays. Some people, as we found out earlier, think he might not play at all next season. Some people think it could be an 8-game suspension or a 10-game suspension. So we're still not even sure how available he's going to be next year. This is always a complicated question of who deserves second chances and who doesn't. What he did was horrific and awful, and there's video to back it up. And yes, the NFL botched the entire investigation because throughout the process, they never tried to acquire the video, and they never even talked to Kareem Hunt. So there's a lot of egg on the NFL's face in this case as well. And part of me is disappointed because Cleveland, to me, was a really fun story. Just for how bad they were, how incompetent they were. They draft Baker Mayfield, which a lot of people made fun of and said, what a dumb number one pick.
Yes, they did.
Look how good he ends up being his rookie year. They're actually within a striking distance of the playoffs. Like, they had a good season this year. Freddie Kitchens, new guy, seems like a fun coach. Like, the Cleveland Browns were a really cool, up-and-coming, fun story in the NFL. And then you go out and do something like this, which is going to cause a lot of people to be turned off by your organization.
I think this is a story that a lot of people will disagree on to a certain extent. Yeah, I hope he can rehabilitate his life. The alcohol stuff he's admitted to, he's already been seeking counseling for that. He's also done it with anger management. I'm always rooting for people to just be better humans. How many games could he be suspended where you go, that's fair? Because my number might be lower than yours. Because, like, I don't like it. I'm a guy with two daughters, so I understand a lot that goes into this.
Sure.
This is almost going to sound really stupid, but I'm asking you to bear with me here. It could have been far worse than what it was.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Did he lose his temper? Yes. Did he act inappropriately? Absolutely. Should he have walked away and not pushed the lady and kicked her one time on the ground? Duh. But if you tell me he's suspended for 6 games, I'm not outraged.
I can see that. I can see that. I think anything less than 6, you're going to have outrage. Just because the NFL has set that precedent of that's what it's supposed to be. Like, Ezekiel Elliott got 6 games.
Right.
And Dallas Cowboy fans will tell you, seriously?
He got six games? Yeah.
And they challenged it all year, and it was a never-ending story. So that's not going to happen here. I don't think the Browns are going to, or Kareem Hunt's going to challenge any suspension that they get.
I think it looks better for him if he just accepts any number.
I'll take it. But you have to go at least 6 because they set that as the number of what you're supposed to get for any sort of domestic violence allegation.
Right. Now, the NFL is probably going to go a little harder than that. 8. You know, we talked to Barry Wilner early. Right. He thinks 8 could be a number.
Yeah.
And we'll see what it is. But Cleveland's giving him a shot. Well, if he can rehabilitate and get on the field, though, if we're just talking X's and O's.
Yeah.
Woo. That's a good pickup for them as a team.
Yeah, if you just look at it from the football perspective, Chubb was already one of the best rookie running backs last year. He had a great season for him to the point where they moved on from Carlos Hyde, who was supposed to be their starting running back. So they're going to have a lot of depth there. I still like Duke Johnson, too. I think I don't think he's used enough in that offense, and he's kind of a Swiss Army knife, if you will,
yes,
for them. So they got a lot of depth in the backfield if you're just looking at it from a football standpoint. And also, I believe signing him now allows him to be – he could be a restricted free agent next offseason. So they're going to control kind of where he goes. So if he is suspended, let's say 6 games, comes out in the last 10, shows that he can turn it around, plays good football, you're going to have the ability to keep him around if you want to, or match contracts and all that kind of stuff. So they're looking at this not only from the short term, but also the long term. I think the other hypocrisy point that hits me on days like this, and not that it's anything we don't know,
mm-hmm.
but like you can get – if you're talented in the NFL, you can get away with anything as long as it's not kneeling for the national anthem. The Kaepernick one to me is always a topic that comes up on days like today when you see how many bad quarterbacks are around and then there's video of this guy pushing and kicking a girl. Yet here we are, and he signed, and he's going to get another opportunity. What, 4 months after he was cut by Kansas City? Didn't take very long.
Well, speaking of kneeling for the national anthem, one guy who did that, Colin Kaepernick's former teammate Eric Reed, who was picked up by the Panthers, it was announced that he signed a 3-year deal to stay in Carolina worth more than $22 million. And Eric Reed, who obviously is a part of the collusion lawsuit with Colin Kaepernick, he says, quote, because he said the deal actually, it should help his case, because he says, quote, if anything, it proves my point from last year. I didn't sign until a few weeks into the regular season. This year, I signed a more substantial contract over the same time period. I'm the same player. Nothing changed. He said, knowing what I know, my hope tank is on E. This is a leverage game, so we'll see what happens moving forward. And that was on Colin Kaepernick being signed. So no hope on Kaepernick and Eric Reed's point. But he signs a 3-year deal, and he comes back to Carolina.
Yeah, good for him. A lot of people criticize this move when it happened, thinking maybe he was washed up or didn't have it anymore. And clearly they want to keep him around. And I see the argument that he's trying to point to of saying, look, when I was given a chance and shown that, yes, I can still play, yeah, it's not an issue. There's not a lot of controversy in the Carolina market about him and what he's done for the national anthem. Nobody really talks about it. They just, can he play football? Yes, he can. And it's kind of a forgotten issue, and therefore he's awarded with the contract extension immediately following the season. So I see where he's coming from on that point of why did it take me so long to go out and find a job?
Yeah, more moving along here on the NFL whip around. Dan Quinn is the new defensive coordinator in Atlanta, and he's brought in former Kansas City DC Bob Sutton as an advisor. You may remember Sutton was the DC for Kansas City last year, who was god-awful defensively.
He was not good.
But he's going to be an advisor. Dan Quinn kind of going back to his old role when he was with the Seahawks. He has cleaned house with the staff. It's basically a Hail Mary for him. If they don't have a good year, I'd imagine he is gone next year.
Yeah.
But the head coach, the D coordinator.
Yeah, their defense was so bad last year.
Who did he hire as an OC? Swag, do you know that? Atlanta? Who did they hire as an OC?
I can't remember. Let me look up.
I don't know why that one's blanking on me. Maybe they haven't hired an OC.
Offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter.
Oh, yeah. From
That's
Tampa.
Right. They he got went back Dirk to Cutter. Atlanta. Went back to Atlanta.
Well, what I would say on that, and this is probably why he hired him, he knew he was going to be DC, so he says, I need basically a head coach for the offense. Not just an offensive coordinator. I need right. a head coach for the offense.
Need somebody that can run completely that side of the ball.
Because he's not going to worry about offense at all if he's going to be a DC. He's going to be watching too much film to care about what the offense is doing, so he has to trust Dirk Cutter.
That, to me, is a sleeper team next year to keep an eye on. They had to battle through a ton of injuries this past season. We know, obviously, 2 years ago or whatever, 3 years ago now, they were in the Super Bowl. They came close last year. Or two seasons ago now, I guess, in their loss at Philly in the playoffs. Like, this is a team that has a lot of talent, and if they can stay healthy and be more competent, if you will, on offense and actually throw the ball to Julio Jones when you're inside the 20-yard line, one of the best wide receivers in the league, there's a lot of upside there to Atlanta. That division could have a couple of gimmies in it because we don't know what Tampa Bay is going to look like, and Carolina could be playing without Cam Newton for the entire season, so you could be chalking up a couple of easy wins. Keep an eye out on Atlanta. I like the Dirk Cutter hire. Defensively, I mean, it's going to come down to the head coach, not Sutton, but I like Dirk Cutter going to Atlanta.
Stephon Diggs tells Viking fans to be patient. Says last year obviously didn't go their way, but hey, it's going to take some time with the new system, new quarterback.
That's my boy, Stephon.
It's not going to click, but Viking fans, please be patient. To which I would say, Stephon, I see where you're coming from, buddy, but they want a Super Bowl.
They do.
Very badly in Minnesota.
Let me ask you this, though. For the Kirk Cousins criticism, which he deserves because he was not great last year, and the numbers were okay, but
I know.
A lot of it in a vacuum.
Right.
What would the better alternative have been for them?
At quarterback?
Yes.
Oh, I don't really buy Case Keenum, so
I'm
not
going to say
that.
Because we saw what he did in Denver. It wasn't great. They're looking for a quarterback again.
Would it have been better for them?
So that's the only thing
is
I bring up.
Is the draft the best approach for them is what I would say.
No, because the team's in a win-now mode. So, you would have to hit on a rookie quarterback that could come in and play right away. So you're
isn't that kind of the theme of the NFL right now, though, is the
sure,
rookie quarterbacks and the
bit.
Young quarterbacks winning right away on a cheap deal?
So you either got to find a diamond in the rough because you're not going to have a good draft pick, or you got to mortgage a ton of your future to move up and get somebody in the top five.
Yeah.
Would any of the rookie quarterbacks last year have put them in a position to win a Super Bowl? And would you trust any of those rookie quarterbacks coming back for year two? Let's say they traded up for any of the five that were taken in the top 11.
I would have been very curious on Baker and Darnold. None of the others.
Okay.
I'm not telling you they win a Super Bowl because that's you don't see rookie quarterbacks do that.
It doesn't happen very often.
To be in the playoffs, I'd have been interested. But Cleveland was never giving up the Baker Mayfield pick. And unless you could jump the Giants, who wanted Saquon Barkley very badly, you had no shot because Darnold went three.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, about the Cousins deal that I like for Minnesota. Yes, it's a lot of guarantee money, but it's a three-year deal.
I know.
There's 2 years
left. It's going to be done soon.
He didn't sign a seven-year contract with him. If he's not good again next year and you disappoint again in year three, guess what? You can press the reset button at quarterback, and you still have some good young talent on that team. Like, you can start over in 3 years if you want.
What I think the other part, too, that people forget about is just what the quarterback market is in the NFL. Like, Kirk Cousins might not be a top 10 quarterback in most people's minds. You pay $28 million a season for a quarterback. I mean,
you're good at one.
Good luck finding one for sub 20 if it's not a draft pick.
Right. It's very difficult.
Especially
to
one
find.
That's going to help you win.
Even Case Keenum got, what, $18 million, I want to say, from Denver, somewhere in that range?
What did that do for them?
Nothing.
At least Minnesota had a better shot than Denver did.
They needed a win in Week 17 at home against Chicago, and they crapped the bet.
Right.
Like they did twice against the Bears.
We'll see what Nick Foles commands on the open market. There's your NFL whip around every Monday at 1 o'clock. We'll stick in the NFL because Kyler Murray is officially off the baseball train, and he gets ready for the NFL. Do we overhype tall players at the quarterback position? And do you think Kyler Murray will be good as an NFL quarterback? We'll go there next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Hope you're enjoying the wet Monday afternoon out there.
We're at that time of the year, man. No snow. We're just going to get pounded with rain for a week.
Yeah, going to get a lot of rain the next 2 days, over 2.5 inches.
Could you imagine if it was just a little bit colder? This is where the predictions were coming in, was Sunday night, like how much it rained last night and today. We were just a few degrees colder. We could be getting pounded with snow right now.
But we're not. It's flooding because that's what we get. Kyler Murray announced to the world today that he was officially going to focus in on football. Do you want me to read the announcement or are we good without his words of, I've loved football, it's my passion?
Yeah, I think you can hit all the bullet points there.
You sure? I can read it.
Sure, go ahead and read it. What does Kyler Murray have to say about this?
God damn it. Give me a second.
You didn't even have it up and ready to go?
No.
I do enjoy the
Twitter thing. Quit on this computer. Here it is.
Okay.
Moving forward, I am firmly and fully committing my life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play quarterback, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best quarterback possible and winning NFL championships. I have started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to prove the NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback in this draft. There you go.
A couple things on this. One, I'm happy for him. It's felt like the entire time when you hear Kyler Murray talk and you hear folks around him talk, football was his passion. It's always been his passion. He was playing baseball because he was incredibly talented at it, and he wasn't sure if being an undersized quarterback was ever really going to work out. And clearly, both of them did because he was a high draft pick in Major League Baseball. But this is where he wants to go. I think it's a great lesson for people. Follow your passion. You know, a lot of people might criticize a move like this because maybe he won't make as much money in the long term, or maybe he could have a longer career in Major League Baseball because there's not the health risks that exist in baseball that do in football. Like, sure, maybe that some of that stuff's true, but he's following what his passion is. And for that, I'm happy for him, and I'm rooting like hell for him to succeed because I think it would be a great story in the NFL. It's a tough blow for Major League Baseball because I think it would have been fun to have a headliner like him who won the Heisman Trophy be around and roam in the center field in Oakland or maybe someday in Portland. So it's a tough blow for the sport of baseball. But I think he's going to be a ton of fun to watch. He seems like a good dude, and I'm pulling for him to be a successful NFL quarterback because it continues to end the stereotype that undersized guys can't make it in the National Football League.
I thought he was a ton of fun to watch, too. I mean, you give me any of that on the NFL level, and I'm in every Sunday. I'm not going to run with the conclusion that he's this or he's that because of his height. You know, realistically, he's probably 5'9".
I'd be really curious to see what it's at the combine.
At the combine, that's as real as it's going to get, so we'll find out. I'm going to bank that he's about 5'9 and some change. But I thought Warren Sharp, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, made a really good point. He went on this big, long Twitter rant about quarterbacks who are tall and just how people are going to come to this conclusion that, well, he's short, he can't be NFL quarterback, and he doesn't understand why we still think this way.
It's ridiculous.
And he makes a good point. Quarterbacks drafted since 2013 by height, overall draft pick, 6'7", Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler. Both of those were fails by Denver.
I can't take anybody over 6'6 anymore. No, can't do it.
6'6 guys, Mike Glennon. Now, this one kind of puts a wrinkle in it, but I see what his overall point is. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
He did.
But are we trusting him as a longtime franchise guy?
TBD.
Sean Mannion doesn't play. 6'5 guys, Carson Wentz, Blake Bortles, Josh Allen, Zach Mettenberger. So you really only have one guy out of there. And then the under 6 foot crowd, I believe Russell Wilson was drafted in 2011 or 2012.
Yeah.
But he uses Russell Wilson as an example of a shorter quarterback. Also, I believe Baker Mayfield's about 6'1".
Yeah, he's a smaller guy.
So he's right at that level of short quarterbacks, and he threw the most touchdowns for a rookie quarterback ever. Do you think we're ever going to stop getting over this height of a quarterback stuff, or do you think this is just always going to be something the NFL narrative is? Short quarterbacks.
I think it just continues to depend on the success rate of smaller quarterbacks. Not that all of them need to succeed, because all of them won't. It's such a difficult thing to do. And not all tall quarterbacks, as you point out, have succeeded in the NFL. But I think that the more of a sample size and the more of the success stories that you have, why wouldn't it go away? It's always been a narrative that has bothered me, because we've had small quarterbacks be successful in the NFL in the past. You have a couple of guys right now who are doing it rather effectively. Baker Mayfield came in. Look, time's going to tell. He had a great rookie year. Nobody knows what kind of career he's going to have. But when the only thing we have to judge is one season, because that's all he's played, and it was a pretty damn good season for an undersized quarterback. So I have no reason to think that Kyler Murray can't do it. Now, yes, is it more difficult to be a quarterback in the NFL if you're 5'9 as opposed to 6'6? You know, as Sherlock, of course it's a little more difficult. You got to be more creative, and you have to have a mobility aspect to your game. But guess what? Kyler Murray does. He's one of the most dynamic athletes I've ever seen in college football. That proves with his ability to play baseball. If he has the smarts to do it, if he doesn't get hurt, and his arm strength backs it up at the combine, there's no reason to be scared about taking a guy like that in the first round.
Well, I think the other aspect of this, too, is he might be one of the good examples of nobody really bashing him either way. I mean, A's fans are probably pretty pissed today because thought he was committed, and they let him play baseball or football for a year thinking he's coming right back, and he didn't. But I think reasonable sports fans like you and I, who have no real rooting interest baseball or especially football team-wise, because we don't know where he's going, you view this as a good move. Because as you mentioned, he's following what he loves. He's following what he thinks he can do best. And by the way, if it doesn't work out and he becomes a backup, he can go, dude, screw the NFL. I'm going to Major League Baseball. And if he's like 26, 27... given what his track record was, I know it's tough, but you're telling me a team still wouldn't give him a shot, bring him in spring training,
somebody would
see how he is, and see if he can crack it in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, if Tim Tebow can get a minor league deal, Kyler Murray can get a minor league deal.
Well, and he might play for the Mets this year, realistically.
Oh, God.
They've already talked about doing that because he surprised him at the end of last year, and the Mets are in full tank mode.
Dear Lord, that's going to be a disaster.
So I just think overall this was... Once it started becoming a storyline, I just mentally thought he was going to choose the NFL. It's 4 years guaranteed as a rookie. The money is going to be good if you're picked at a certain spot, especially in the first round. And there's going to be teams desperate enough to try it. You know, Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe they sign Nick Foles to a short deal and they sit Kyler Murray, or maybe they say, screw it. Let's go Kyler Murray year one. Yeah. Baker Mayfield did a good job. He's from Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. Let's see if this kid can come in and do it too. I understand why there is this stigma about short quarterbacks. I do, but I also hate that we just ignore or don't talk about how quarterbacks a certain way, the other way, don't usually pan out either.
Yeah, you've always had this too, and he's a double whammy in this regard, that you've always had it with spread quarterbacks. That was the long negative stereotype was, well, if you're coming from a spread offense, it's not going to work in the NFL. It's
Lamar Jackson is still fighting that.
It's not a pro-style system. He didn't call plays in the huddle. He doesn't understand some of the nuances or dialogue around an NFL offense. Like, it was this big fear-mongering that was always kicked up whenever a spread-style quarterback would come into the NFL. And I would hope at this point we've moved on from it, not only because we've seen guys have success, but also how many NFL teams now run a semblance of that offense in their own offense. Like,
right.
The NFL has changed drastically from where it was 5-6 years ago. And I think as long as it continues on a trend like that, and those are the kind of offenses that are getting run in the NFL, then yes, small quarterbacks who come from those style offenses are going to be able to fit at the next level. And I hope Kyler Murray is the next example. And I think for him, it's just going to be about, and I always say it's about guys who can run and move around. You have to prove yourself as a thrower for it to work long-term in the NFL. That's the only thing I say about these guys. I think Lamar Jackson still needs to get there. He is a great athlete, and he showed how kind of running a unique offense can have a boom impact for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But defenses are going to figure it out slowly but surely, and you're going to have to prove that you can consistently beat teams with your arm. RG3 is a prime example of this, who took the NFL by storm his rookie year, got hurt, wasn't the same level of athlete, couldn't move the way he could anymore. And what happened to him? He fell out of rotation. He couldn't play anymore because he wasn't a dynamic thrower. So you have to make sure that that is what your game is built on. And if you can move around and extend plays, scramble around like Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield as an added benefit to that, no reason you can't make it in the NFL.
Yeah. So Kyler Murray's choosing the NFL over Major League Baseball. Somebody says, Sprague, stick to the round orange ball. Mets are going for it. Cano, Diaz, Wilson, Ramos, all acquired to build up their offense. To which I would say, yeah, tanking was probably the wrong word to use for the Mets. I also did momentarily forget about the trade with
they made the big Mariner trade, man.
With the Mariners, but
you gotta brush up on your Mets facts. Let's go, dude. Spring training's around the corner.
Yeah, I've also watched enough NL East baseball to know the Mets will suck somehow.
And they, if
and when you bring up Tim Tebow, you're telling me exactly what you are.
If any team would do it, I could see the Mets doing it.
I would almost argue they're maybe going for it in that sense to get people to go to the games. Hey, we got Cano.
I got some attendance issues here.
But hey, I'll find out during the season if I'm wrong or not. We'll see. New York Mets. All right, let's stick with football, but I have to ask the question. Did you watch the AAF? Yes or no? 55305, Better You Today text line. I didn't, but I did see something there that I really liked. I'm also not so sure the NFL should go that route. I'll tell you what that is, and we'll find out if you guys watched it. To keep
things out of sight. Passing around, what it would have been, 2 weekends ago. Watching the Super Bowl, thinking to myself.
As just a week ago yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. Week ago yesterday.
I'm like, damn, dude, time is flying.
Sitting around watching the Super Bowl, thinking to myself, hey, you know, football season's coming to an end. This is it. It's over. And for me, it has been.
Mm-hmm.
But for my Twitter timeline and a lot of people out there, football has not ended.
No, it hasn't.
It has only just begun, my friends. Because if you did not know, the AAF debuted over the weekend.
Yep.
Alliance of American Football, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah.
And now this
is the NFL G League, by the way. They just won't announce this.
They just won't say it. The thing that turned a lot of heads were the overnight ratings. So I think the debut game was Saturday night. The AAF beat the NBA head-to-head overnight ratings. The two games for the AAF got about a 2.1 market share. And the Houston OKC game, which is a great game, big comeback. I watched a big chunk of that.
Yep.
Had a 2. So the AAF outdueled the NBA. Therefore, everybody's saying, aha, see? The AAF can work.
Yeah, and look, NFL regular or NBA regular season, you tell me the number's not great. I'm not surprised. I'm going to make this vow, though, right now before we dive into the opinions of the AAF. If you want to watch the AAF or the XFL in 2020 or any other league that's created, I'm going to stop badgering you or judging you as long as you leave me and what I like to watch alone.
Leave me alone.
Right? I won't do this on baseball. I won't do it on football.
You watch whatever you want to watch. You do you, boo.
Hey, I would love to read the listeners that tell us, and we've had quite a few of them say, yeah, I watched. Wasn't that bad. Watched. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I'm the kind of guy that I love football. But I also enjoy the buildup into football season, the college and the NFL.
Me too.
I don't need the league of the AAF or the XFL to carry me for 2 months, get me to the draft, and then have it end. Because that's what it does. It'll get you to about April. I think Cam said it stops a week before the NFL draft, which is why I also think it's the G League. The NFL has made sure this is set up this way. And I don't need it. I'm good. I get the Super Bowl. I'm good. Now I take a long break. By the time like mid-July comes back, I start fiending for it again. And now I'm getting antsy. I'm getting excited. But I understand most of the country is this is a football first country. I'm not going to argue that. I would also, though, point out these ratings were much lower than the XFL was debuting on NBC years ago.
Yes.
And as fun as it is to poke fun at basketball for beating its primetime game, which is great, do that. 2 million people watching your game, that's not a lot of people. Let's not act like the whole country is watching the AAF.
Consumed by the AAF.
So
did you watch 55305's Better You Today text line? We'll get to some of your thoughts in a moment. I did want to bring up, because you mentioned it, the XFL, when it debuted in 2001, got a 9.5 national rating, and then the overnight number was a 10.3 for the first game.
That's like a bad Monday Night Football game rating.
That's a good number.
Really good number.
And by the end of the year, their ratings were non-existent. Right. It was the new, hey, what is this? What's going on? So look, the argument, because a lot of people have brought that up on Twitter, like, well, people watch the XFL and then they turned it off. And the counter argument against that is, well, the XFL was such a gimmicky product that it was never going to last long term.
Also marketed far more than this league has.
It was. So you had this big buzz and people turn it on. They're like, what the hell is this? And then nobody really turned it on again. So people have been trying to argue that watched it over the week. And then it wasn't a bad product. You had teams scoring. You had big hits. I know which people love. The Berkovici hit I saw a million times on Twitter.
I thought he died.
I did too. I think it's good that football's trying to get rid of those hits, but not in the AAF apparently. So I think that's been the counter argument against it. The question I have for people that really are invested in this and want to watch a lot of it. It's a simple one, and that is, do you not enjoy other sports?
Well, I don't know. When you set that up, I don't think a lot of people that watched are emotionally invested in the league. I think they gave it a shot. A lot of them probably were okay with what they saw, but it does not mean they're watching this week in and week out.
That time will tell on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big one. Two, I've long wondered that because I'm obviously a guy that's I love basketball, right? But I also love football. But
we like
I
to consider ourselves well-rounded as sports.
Yeah,
fans.
And you're a baseball guy. Like I don't care if you're well-rounded, but I think that's a very fair question to ask: is do you like any other sports, or is it just football all the time? Because I'm genuinely interested in that as well. I also wanted to like have our boss, because we have a mailing a email list that we send happy birthday stuff to, and I would actually like to send one to all those people on the email chain. I just want to know what the answer is there, because maybe they're not. Maybe our audience is not as into other sports as we think they are, or maybe they are, and this was a one-time tryout thing. The other bad thing for that league, though, is I don't believe there's another game on CBS, the cable channel.
No, they had a national channel.
Or the network, I should say. I think the rest of them now are going to be on the CBS Sports Network or CBS All Access, which you have to pay for. And if we're going to trot out numbers, well, then let's trot them out after this weekend.
Right, right. You got to get past the opening weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I think I bring that up, and you're right. I mean, time's going to tell to see what the level of interest is in this from American sports fans. The start, at least, is probably solid, considering you beat a decent NBA game on the opening night, and we'll see where it goes in the weeks to come. I tend to be like you when it comes to sports. Like, we are so invested in football, and rightfully so, from really the end of August until the Super Bowl. I mean, you're going from September 1st when everything kicks off and the NFL jumps in all the way through the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl in the first weekend of February. And I love it. I love every second of it. And we watch nonstop football all day Saturday, all day Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night. Our lives evolve around football for that span. And I kind of view it like it's like the end of Christmas, you know, like for those of you who celebrate Christmas, you love it. But by the end of the day, you kind of get that sad feeling like, Christmas, we got to wait another year for this to come around. But then by like December 26th or 27th, you're like, dude, these needles are falling over my house. Get this tree out of here.
Yeah.
I've been eating like crap for a month. I need to go to the gym. I'm unhealthy. Like, I got to pay off all these present credit cards. You know, I got up all these bills. Like, I'm ready to move on from the holidays. And that's the way I feel with football. Like, we're so invested with it and we watch so much of it that I have that sad feeling at the end of the Super Bowl, like the third quarter, it hits me like, this is it.
Yeah.
The season's over. And I got to wait till August and it's all done. And then I get like a week removed and you give me a good NBA game. I dive a little more into the NHL. We had a great golf tournament this weekend down at Pebble Beach with Phil Mickelson getting a win this morning.
Mm-hmm.
College hoops, if you're into that kind of thing, has been interesting at Duke and Virginia play.
Duke play and Zion.
It's fun, right? So it takes me like a couple of days and I'm like, that's right. Other sports exist. Pitchers and catchers report today. And you allow yourself to be well-rounded. That's why I asked that question is, are you just football focused and that's all you want to watch? Which, more power to you. You can be that way. But I can't understand any other reason why you would want to watch the AAF over a compelling NBA game.
Well, I think, one, it's start time. So if you're not a golf guy, those games started before the NBA game started. So it's like, okay, I'm sitting down. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know what the weather's going to be. What's on? Well, I don't want to watch reruns. I don't want to watch Netflix. Let's watch sports. That's your option. I think the second one is, as much as I'm curious about the answer to your question, I also think a large percentage of people that watched this and liked it, because we are getting positive feedback on it. I would say those people more so, it's the fact that it's on more than it is being invested, right? When you talk about the NFL and college football, you're talking about our emotional ties in college.
Yes.
And it could be an emotional for a team, or it could just be love of the greatest athletes playing that specific sport.
Or financial with fantasy teams, that kind of stuff.
What have you, right? You have reasons aside from just liking the sport itself. Whereas I know you can gamble on this league. I understand that's how it's going to get some people in for sure.
Yeah.
But I think people are more so just watching it because it's on more than they are the reasons they watch the other two. It's not as much emotionally tied to it, right? You watch a quarterback in college football get lit up by like Berkovici, and you're outraged and you're angry. You see it on a league you don't care about, and it's like, you know what I mean? There's not as much tied with that as the fandom and emotions are tied to the NFL
or major college football.
Yeah. What do you think? Is this going to work long term? 55305, did you enjoy it over the weekend? We got a poll question on that as well. We'll read some thoughts, update the poll question. We got to get some broadcasting news in the final hour. The NBA had a couple of funny storylines we'll get to, and then the Blazers are in OKC tonight. All of that is still to come. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. We were both out at the Glorious House of Gaines today. Let's go.
No.
No, we don't get
no.
it.
Let's go!
Thanks, Tom. Why was it delayed?
I don't know.
I was there yesterday, too. Do I get a double let's go?
No. Boss walked in.
Oh, okay. By the way, somebody just alerted us to the Better You Today text line.
Okay. A breaking news, or?
This could be breaking news worthy.
Really?
I think it needs some more investigation from us, but it could be.
Is it the Jeremy Lin news?
No. Oh. But he's going to Atlanta, Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
Toronto. That happened earlier today. This is now.
This is like real breaking
news. This is
news.
In the moment.
Okay.
Somebody texted us.
All right.
Oh, my God. Oregon Live just alerted me that snow could mess up the Tuesday commute.
Mm.
Snowmageddon 2019.
There it is. Now, you have moved on from local weather people.
Oh, I'm done.
What about the local newspaper weather people?
Oh, you want me to listen to the newspaper who ran with the caption on Super Bowl Sunday, Brandon Cooks, former Oregon State Beaver, has two big drops in Rams loss. You want me to run with that newspaper?
That was their headline?
Oh, yeah, they got lit up for that one. Oh,
that's not good.
Yeah. It wasn't a good look for their sports section.
All the other headlines you could have gone with, and that's the one you picked, huh?
Duck wins a Super Bowl ring. Former Oregon native Ryan Allen has great punting night, wins another Super Bowl. I don't know what you could have ran with. You could have ran with anything but that. So, no, I'm not believing this. What's my iPhone say?
What's the iPhone say for tomorrow? Have we cooled off?
The iPhone says right now.
Exponentially?
In my neck of the woods in Oregon City, Portland right now, by the way, is 39 degrees in rain.
Okay, are we getting chilly? What's the overnight temp? Give me the overnight temp.
Tuesday, 41 in rain. Sure doesn't sound like snow to me.
Buckle up. It's going to be a rough commute.
It's going to be 41, 43, 41, 43, 43, 44. You're not getting snow.
So there's your weather update. In case you're wondering, Snowmageddon is not over. We're just getting started.
Snowmageddon 2019.
Just getting started, folks. Okay, we were talking AAF last segment. A couple thoughts. Want to get to it. The Better You Today text line. We also have a poll question on this. Did you watch over the weekend?
Well, I know the answer to something that I was going to pose, so I'm no longer going to say it. But the facts are this. It's G League for the NFL. They'll announce it in a year or two. You're basically watching fourth and fifth string NFL players.
You're watching guys that got cut that couldn't make it in the NFL.
And that's fine. Again, I'm not going to tell you what to watch. My whole point is
Trent Richardson still slow?
Yeah, and Christian Hackenberg still sucks.
Okay.
This is basically just what the country is. That's our favorite game now. And there's nothing, and the circumstances don't matter because you can't tell me the AAF is great and the NBA G League sucks. They're the same thing. You like football far more.
Right. To the answer to the poll question, did you watch? 41% of you said briefly. 26% said hell no. 17% said yes and you loved it, and 16% said what the bleep is the AAF. So still some confusion over that. We had a couple people chime in with that. I totally forgot it was that it was going on. I didn't know. Let's read some thoughts here. Didn't watch the AAF. I watched the bleep out of golf this weekend. Somebody said I watched. It wasn't terrible. It was like watching the Senior Bowl. No real team chemistry. Another one.
See, I haven't. That's another level football fan. I've never watched the Senior Bowl.
You don't watch the Senior Bowl? I don't either.
Have you?
No. I follow all the big four sports. I still watched and enjoyed the AAF, though, because, frankly, I can't get enough sports. If it's entertaining and watchable, I'll probably be tuning in.
Okay.
Another one. I did not know that it started. I may give it a look. Need a better publicity. Another one. I watched it. It was entertaining enough. I'll tune back in. A couple people that loved it. Some people said it's 201 days until football, August 31st, 2019, Ducks versus Auburn.
That's kind of where I'm at, too.
You kind of have that mixed vibe. Another one, P1AK says, I'm akin to Sprague. I live for football season, both NFL and college. However, I start to follow college basketball around December time frame in preparation for the tournament, for the Super Bowl. Many other sports I follow are golf, boxing, international PDC darts tournaments. Well, that's deep right there.
Dude, that is deep.
So really not interested in the AAF. Plenty of other sports to fill my time.
And see,
so
I was
finding balance.
I did that too because I'm always watching the Saturday night NBA game. But the start time, as I mentioned, was earlier. I watched Duke, Virginia, because I'm not going to be able to tell you everything about all these teams in the tournament, but I'm always genuinely curious about the best ones.
Well, and Duke's can't miss TV, man. They really are.
I hate to say this. This might be one of the first Duke. This is the first Duke team I don't hate. I don't like Duke. I'm not going to root for them to win. I don't hate this team.
Zion does it to you, huh?
Yeah, Zion. I love the quote. RJ Barrett, did you see what he said? He said, no. We wear black on the road because we want to, basically, it's a funeral for the other team.
Oh, I like that.
I love that quote. Cam Reddish has got great potential. This is just a fun group of freshman players that I enjoy watching. And so I also wanted to watch Virginia lose because I love how Virginia is always a great team. And then they can't even beat a 16 seed in the tournament, for God's sakes.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they're playing UNC tonight.
Yes, they are.
So you got another nice little college basketball game if you want to watch that.
Well, and this is the one thing, though, I did take away. The attendance, by the way, for the AAF wasn't great. I saw a picture of the Arizona game, and it looked like 200 people were in that stadium. So we'll see again how this continues to develop over weeks. This is something we got to wait some time on before we declare it's this or that. They did do something, and I don't think I want to see the NFL do it, but I did enjoy the idea, and it involved their replay process and how they show you what they're looking at from the official standpoint, and you hear the official upstairs give the breakdown of what the call is.
The ball hits the ground. I'm going to let this stand.
Terry Valenti, the replay
official.
He's
rolling on the ground. He's using the ground to keep it in there. The ball, the ground helps him. We're going to let it stand.
So she's going to agree with the call on the field. No touchdown. She feels that the ground helped the catch at the end of the catch.
Definitely touched. Ball is down on the ground sliding. Okay, we're gonna wait a minute, 1 second. We've got an elbow down. It's got it and touch. Nope, we're gonna overturn this and reverse this to a catch in the end zone for a score by Lando. He's got possession, he tucks it in, his elbow hits, the ball is in control in his arms. We've got a score.
Now, I thought that was cool, but I don't think they need to do this in the NFL. People are calling for the NFL to do this, to which I would say,
why wouldn't you want to see that in the NFL, though? If you had the ability to just listen in to the dialogue they were having?
Well, I'm not against having that dialogue exist. I'm just saying I don't need this in the NFL because we disagree no matter what. So what is hearing the explanation change?
That's true.
If you disagree, you disagree.
Yeah, I will say I think that's where this league could be a positive. Now, I'm not going to watch a second of it because these are guys that got cut. They're not good enough to be NFL players. And maybe you get a couple of rare, rags to riches where these guys come back and have good NFL careers. That might happen, but it's not going to pique my interest at all as a sports fan. I think the aspect of it, when a listener chime us in, I think it's a good point, is if this serves as a guinea pig, kind of for the NFL, where, no kickoffs, how do people like it, certain penalties, stuff like that, where you have a live feed into the communication between the replay officials. Like, you, if you can use it as a guinea pig league for the NFL to see, does that work? Do we like this rule change? Is it okay to, have overtimes that go from the 25-yard line, stuff like that? Then I think in the long term, it can be a positive. I don't think in the long term, many people are going to watch it just because the novelty will wear off eventually and the product's not going to be that great. But if it can serve that purpose, then hey, maybe the AAF can be a positive. So we'll see where it goes from here. But AAF had a big debut over the weekend, and we'll see what the ratings are next week. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Still to come in the final hour, Magic Johnson needs to shut up. I'll tell you why. New Orleans potentially was in some hot water with the NBA. Now the NBA is saying fake news to that. Russell Westbrook is doing something incredible again, and are we appreciating it enough? We're bringing that up because Portland plays OKC tonight. But we'll start, though, with the NFL shutting down a legendary broadcaster. Also, Jim Gray, weird dude. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.